Hey, did you see that Aquaman poster?
Yes.
What'd you think of it?
I thought that the tagline should have been, "Darling, it's better down where it's wetter."
What?
You know, from The Little Mermaid.
What's that line?
Darling, it's better down where it's wetter.
That would have worked.
Yeah.
That would have worked pretty
Yeah.
well, actually. That wasn't bad. You're listening to Casual Wednesdays with Doom Rocket. I'm Jared Jones, and across the table from me, as always, is the Peabodys to my MTV Movie Awards, MJ Kramer. Hello, MJ.
Peabodys. I'm the Peabodys?
You're,
Why
see,
wouldn't I would be the MTV Movie Awards? That would be me.
that's how the joke works, is that you're the better version of whatever the hell I meant.
No, I'm the VMAs.
You're the VMAs? Maybe we should think of a new intro? I don't know.
No, it's
Does this
good.
not work for you?
It's good.
Okay, good. We're talking about the Eisners this week. Talking about all the news that is leaking out before San Diego Comic-Con begins. I'm a little bummed out. We're not going this year.
I'm okay with it. It's gonna be like way nice here in Chicago this weekend, like weather-wise.
Yeah.
The weather is gonna be under 80 all weekend, like
And
74 on Saturday.
for people who don't live here, we've been getting our asses kicked weather-wise with the
Yeah.
humidity and the heat index. It's been brutal.
Yeah, we've been sweating up a storm, so I'm gonna enjoy being home, not having to have traveled, and not sweating.
Yeah, I'm gonna look forward to not laying next to an air conditioning unit, blasting at full just to feel like normal.
Yes.
It's not good. So yes,
It's always crazy how much news comes out so early, even before the convention starts.
it's almost like we don't need a convention.
Yeah.
It's just an excuse for companies to spend a lot of money.
Yeah. And everybody to have, like, a week vacation in lovely San Diego.
So, what do you say? You want to talk about some of this news before we get into it? All
Yes.
right.
Lots of news.
Lots of news. I think the first one that we did not get to talk about last week, it may seem like old news, but it's still exciting to us. This literally dropped last week as we were beginning editing last week's podcast. G. Willow Wilson is taking the reins of Wonder Woman.
This lady right here is so fucking excited about
I'm
this.
sure that you
You
are.
all have heard me bitching about how they keep on putting dudes on this book.
It's true.
And
Even dudes
there's
we like Steve Orlando.
yes, there's still gonna be a fella doing the art on here, but G. Willow motherfucking
Yeah,
Wilson,
that's
the
huge.
creator of Kamala Khan, writing Wonder Woman.
I don't know why, but for some reason I thought she was Marvel exclusive. I don't know why I thought that.
Something in this article in Entertainment Weekly says that she was exclusive to Marvel for the past few years, so I guess her contract must have come up.
Oh, that's
But
cool.
she did write for DC like a while ago. She did a couple Vertigo books. She did a graphic novel called Cairo, and she did a series called Air. And
I
she did,
remember Air. Yeah, that's
yeah, and
right.
she did a couple like little random shorts like Superman and Vixen and stuff.
Okay. The news dropped on DC All Access. I try to watch that show every week, but
You just love
sometimes.
watching Dan DiDio.
Well, sometimes they alternate. It's sometimes Dan DiDio talks about the books of the week, and sometimes they get Jim Lee to do it, and sometimes they get somebody else. Dan DiDio is so much fun to watch when he's talking about
He's
comics.
very
He's
passionate.
very passionate. I enjoy it. I appreciate it. But sometimes All Access puts on a host. I'm not going to mention their name, but they just drive me insane. I can't. I'm like, oh, it's your week? No thanks. So I missed this news immediately when I got the YouTube alert that it was on. But that was the exclusive.
Yeah, I saw it, I think, on Twitter, and I think I might have done a little scream.
So it's very exciting. Wonder Woman has been under the stewardship of James Robinson, which seems like a semi-decent idea on paper. It has not worked out so well.
It's been just okay. Like, they've been putting a lot of focus on her twin brother, Jason.
Yeah, hey, don't hold back on my account.
I mean, I don't want to shit on it. I feel like I shit on it a lot. So.
Well, you're very particular. You're like me with Superman.
I don't know.
How did that come
I think
out?
you're a lot more picky about Superman than I am. Like you get down to like the squaring off of the font on the logo kind of a thing.
Yeah, I get into the nitty-gritty. I heard a rumor that they're going to be implementing the Nuclear Man from Superman 4 as a villain. I hope Brian Bendis has more in his well than that,
I think it would be fun if they did that.
but
But that's just me.
little things like that irk me. But think bigger things, more important things, because you're an adult, bother you when it comes to Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly don't hate the James Robinson run as much as I have past runs, I am just looking forward to them having a distinct idea in mind where they want to take Diana and a creator who really knows how to take her there.
Right. And how do you feel about Cary Nord?
Oh, Cary Nord's great. I like him too. Yeah.
So yeah, thumbs up on that.
I will be getting more and more excited as that gets closer.
Another exciting announcement just before San Diego. Shuri, the breakout character from the film Black Panther, the little independent film that came out earlier this year.
Yeah, some of you might have seen it.
Is getting her own solo title.
Yes. And Nnedi Okorafor, who is a celebrated novelist at this point, she's done a couple comic works at this point as well. She did I think at first it was digital only, Black Panther, Long Live the King. And now she's been working on the Wakanda Forever, like, miniseries that's focused on the Dora Milaje, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I feel like she's good as a novelist jumping into comics.
Yeah. That can always be kind of a sticky wicket.
Yeah.
For some people.
Yeah. Like, I feel like she's got a little ways to go, but I think, like, she's doing good.
Sure.
She's doing good.
Do you think she'll be able to capture Letitia Wright's voice? Because it feels like this book is kind of tapping into that element.
I hope so, but I feel like, I mean, I haven't read a ton of the character, but I feel like in the comics, Shuri is a little bit more, I don't want to say serious, but that's the best word I can think of.
In the film, she's much younger than she is in the comics, because in the comics, she was actually Black Panther for a little while.
Yeah, but I mean, there's been a lot of continuity changes since then, so they might have aged her back down. But she showed up in like the first arc of Ta-Nehisi Coates' Black Panther run, and
yes.
I'm trying to remember if she was really young or not. But I wasn't really paying attention to how young she was.
I seem to remember her being young, not younger. I don't know. It's hard to put a number on it.
I feel like she was older than Letitia Wright's character, but not old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she seemed mid-20s-ish. But I'd have to go back and check.
Absolutely. So that's another project that we are definitely looking forward to. But speaking of G. Willow Wilson, she's got another book coming out.
Yeah.
Hot dog.
Good for this lady.
Exactly. A creator-owned project. This time for Karen Berger's Berger Books imprint. That's a big get.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it makes sense because she worked under Berger when she was doing those aforementioned Vertigo books. And another awesome thing is that Christian Ward is going to be doing the art on this. And it's going to be like a big sci-fi epic thing, which he excels at.
Invisible Kingdom, set for a March 2019 release.
But one more thing about that Shuri book I didn't mention.
Oh, what?
Leonardo Romero and Jordi Belair are doing the art for it. Leonardo Romero has recently done the art on the Hawkeye series that Kelly Thompson wrote. His art's great. It's very Chris Somney-esque.
I'm into that. Yo,
yeah.
I've seen his artwork. Where did I see it most recently? He did fill-ins for the latest issue of The Immortal Hulk.
Ah, okay.
Moving on to another Marvel announcement. Marvel is bringing back the What If line.
Yeah, see, I think you're a lot more excited about this than
I am.
Me.
I am. It scratches a nostalgic itch, but also, when you read superhero comics as often as we do, it just starts to feel a little samey. What If gives an opportunity for people to really flex that creativity, to go somewhere where they typically wouldn't or wouldn't be allowed to in a normal superhero comic. However, this line doesn't seem the most innovative. Let's take a look at a couple of the concepts for the first line of What If. We've got, what if Spider-Man was the Punisher?
But I think it's kind of funny, though. With great power comes great punishment.
That took somebody 2 minutes, not even 2 seconds to cook up. We got magic as the Sorcerer Supreme, which could be an interesting one. I'm not sure what the Ghost Rider one's about, but he's on the cover. He looks very Mad Max Fury Road-y.
The artist on that is Casper Wingard, who is A+.
Very good.
So that's pretty cool. I know the name Sebastian Grinner. Is that some, the person who writes Scales and Scoundrels? I feel like that's someone who writes an Image book.
Could be.
But my brain is not connecting.
It's morning, you're fine. What if Thor was a frost giant? One book that I find really interesting is that Brian Hill, who's working on Detective Comics right now, has got one coming out called X-Men, but it's like .exe/men. It's got Domino and Cable on there. I don't know what the concept's about. I didn't really read the piece, but it looks interesting. And I like Brian Hill, so that would be something. And then what if Flash Thompson was Spider-Man? So it's kind of like, what if the thing you like was this other thing you like? Hopefully they dig a little deeper into the well the next line. But for now, this is good enough for me. I like it. What do you think?
Like I said, I can give or take this stuff. It doesn't hit any kind of buttons for me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that it's not your highfalutin prestige whatevers that you typically read.
Wonder Woman?
Wonder Woman, yeah.
Let you Willow Wilson on mm-hmm. Wonder Woman?
Netflix next, I suppose. Ugh. Their purportedly fruitful relationship with Mark Miller is starting to bear a little bit of fruit. Tree seemed a little barren at first. We got a comic book out of it.
Yeah.
But now, two films are on the slate, two series are on the slate. The two dramas, and this is interesting, American Jesus, which I'm whatever about, but Jupiter's Legacy is going to be a TV series on Netflix.
And American Jesus was an older one.
Yeah.
So it was from 2009.
That's reaching back.
Yeah.
And I don't even think American Jesus finished. I don't think that was a book that wrapped.
Hmm.
Yeah. I think it was it was something they were going to come back around to, and they just never did, because it's Mark Miller, and mm-hmm. he has a lot of plates spinning in the air.
Well, I guess they'll continue it on in this television series.
Well, I hope that while he's working on Jupiter's Legacy, the TV show, that we get Jupiter's Requiem by 2019, like they promised. I seem to recall when they announced it at the end of the final issue of Jupiter's Legacy 2, issue number 5, I believe, which came out in 2016, 2015.
They've got Frank Quitely's methodical schedule.
We see the comic stuff that he does, but I never see any of this other work that he's allegedly doing.
I heard that he also works in, advertising or something, and it's really lucrative.
Yeah, but where's the...
I don't know.
Hashtag release the Quitely sketches,
mm-hmm.
whatever. But then the films that they're making.
It's three movies.
Three movies? Oh, yeah. Sharky the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah,
what the hell was that?
That seems like a new property.
Is it?
I feel
Oh, yeah. It's a comic that'll be published as a Miller World Netflix comic next year. And the other two are going to be Huck and Empress.
Empress is going to be a really cool movie. I would guess.
It's a Netflix movie.
They haven't done a ton of them yet.
Maybe
this will be the first good one.
Excuse me?
Maybe this will be the first good one.
No. Netflix has done a ton of movies.
How many?
I don't have the list, but over 100 by now at this point.
No way.
Yeah, trust me. Their budget was $1 billion or some crazy shit.
Hmm.
I don't know. I may have made that number up, but it's this exorbitant amount of money that they spend annually to kick out content.
Empress sounds really cool. I gotta admit, I enjoyed that series, not only because of Immonen's art, because Stuart Immonen's art on that, and with Wade von Grauwbacher, was awesome. But this looks like it's gonna be written by a lady named Lindsay Beer, who's worked on a bunch of stuff I've never heard of, but she's working on that Sierra Burgess is a Loser series for Netflix. So she's adapting the comic into the feature film with Joe Roth and Jeff Kirschenbaum from The Voyage of Dr. Doolittle and Maleficent set to produce. I don't care.
I read Empress. I finally finished it. It ends on a cliffhanger, and we're not getting an Empress 2 because Mark Miller doesn't work for Marvel anymore.
He owns it. He can move it from Icon over to wherever he wants.
So do you think we'll ever see an Empress 2? Because it ends on a really stupid cliffhanger.
We might.
Do you think we'll get Stuart Immonen back for that?
You never know.
I mean,
I think it'll be a couple years before we do.
He retired, but no one can say no to Mark Miller money.
Exactly.
He could give us money, you know. He's got plenty of it.
I'm sure he could, but why would he do that?
I don't know.
We're not exactly fans.
Maybe I could get to be. I can come around to the idea.
Yeah.
I like Jupiter's Legacy and Circle. Frank Quitely and Wilfredo Torres doing it, but
mm-hmm.
it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, moving on. Final news item before we get to the Eisners. Batwoman TV series in the works of the CW.
I don't love all of the CW's superhero offerings.
I've stopped watching all of them.
Yeah, as have I. We both have. That's partially because I was so sick of The Obligation. Maybe one of these days I'll sit down and binge a couple of the
seasons.
If
they were like Netflix shows, like Marvel Netflix shows, like 10 episodes or 13 or whatever they got, I could manage.
Yeah.
But they're 23 episodes each.
There's a lot of filler in those seasons. The episode that broke us was that trial episode of The Flash?
Yeah, when they finally did the trial of The Flash, and it was just so boring.
And it was nothing like an actual trial possibly even could be, even for like a silly superhero show.
It happened in like 2 hours.
Yeah.
A lot of ground to cover. I don't know, we watched Anatomy of a Murder the other day with Jimmy Stewart. And look, I'm not asking The Flash to be like an Otto Preminger film, but holy shit, it was like Justice for Dummies.
With that intro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm still kind of looking forward to this Batwoman series.
So we knew that Batwoman was going to become a character at the CW because she's going to be a part of the next big
Yeah, DC the crossover in December.
Right. But a series of their own, is it cart before the horse, or does that even matter? Is it just exciting enough to know that Batwoman exists, which means that obviously Batman exists?
Well, just as long as this show isn't as bad as Gotham, it can't be fully apart because mm-hmm. her name is Batwoman.
Yeah.
And she's inspired to take up the cowl by being saved by him one night.
Right.
So I just hope that they keep that, you know, as part of her intro and then don't go back to it so much.
Here's a theory. I haven't watched a single episode of CW TV in about a year or half a year. But I would posit to say that maybe Batman will be a part of this crossover as well. And that'll be the genesis point for Batwoman.
I wonder.
But here's another thing. Rumors going around that this next season of Arrow is going to be the last season of Arrow.
That show has been around for a long time.
I know.
It's like its eighth season or something.
So it's like DCCW shows, you can't do two grim vigilante things in tandem. I don't think Black Lightning technically counts. But if you get rid of Arrow, I think Batwoman would slide into that slot rather nimbly.
And I think Pretty Boy Stephen Amell can be replaced by an awesome, gothy, redhead lesbian.
I hope he gets a better agent, because the only movie that I've seen him in is Ninja Turtles 2.
He's probably just been really busy.
Busy doing what? Those salmon jumps or whatever they're called? What's that thing called?
Oh, I forgot.
Where
I
he
forgot.
Takes a bar and lifts himself into the air because he's a psychopath.
It's a salmon something.
It's a salmon something.
Salmon run? Something like that.
Salmon dumb.
You might think it's dumb, but it is enjoyable to watch. And the first season, they show so much of it. It
makes my joints hurt just looking at it. My shoulders ache.
But it makes his joints look good.
Oh, get out of here. All right, MJ, you want to talk about the Eisners?
I guess so.
All right, so the Eisners come around every single year. For people that aren't too familiar with what the Eisners are, it's named for Will Eisner, in honor of him, to celebrate the comics medium. This goes across the board. It's not zeroed in on the big two. It's not zeroed in on Image. It crosses the entire sphere. All eligible books are published within the confines of the exact year. If it was published between January 1st and December 31st, if it was in your hot little hands in between that little bracket, they're eligible, so anything between the beginning and the end of 2017 is on this list, right?
It's a long award ceremony.
Yeah.
So I tend to watch people's live tweets of them, because mm-hmm. that's usually the best you can get as far as finding out who's winning what.
Mm-hmm.
I usually like Heidi McDonald's, because she's there pretty much every year and does a good job of getting all that info out.
She's very thorough.
Mm-hmm. I enjoy finding out who wins, if only because I always enjoy putting up, like, Eisner winner displays at the store.
I always think it's funny because whenever somebody wins an Eisner, they're always so laissez-faire about it afterwards. They're like, yeah, I got one.
Well, people are excited.
Same thing with the Harveys. Like, hasn't Chip Zdarsky ever had it in his possession?
I don't think he's rented it out. He wasn't there to get it, so Mark Waid accepted it for him. And Mark Waid has been sending it around to different people.
Oh.
And so I don't think Chip has any input on that.
So
My store won a Spirit of Retailing Eisner. Does that count?
That's true. You worked for Challengers Comics once upon a time, and that is an Eisner Award-winning store.
Yeah, I worked for them while they won the Eisner.
That's right. Good for you.
Yeah.
You're an Eisner winner by proxy.
Sort of, yes.
Well, isn't that what by proxy means?
Yes. I like to think that I helped win it. Yeah.
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 It was all you.
Sure.
Yeah, Dal and Patrick haven't been toiling for years.
Yeah. No, that's... As their award.
It's fine. It's fine. So what we're going to do, instead of talking about all 31 categories, because that's a lot, we're going to talk about 11 of them. And we're going to break it down to who we think will win, who we think should win, and who we thought got snubbed. Pretty simple, right? So we'll just dive right into it. Let's start with Best Continuing Series.
All right. So Best Continuing Series, we've got Black Hammer, we've got Giant Days, we've mm-hmm. got Hawkeye, we've got Monstrous, and we've got The Wicked and the Divine.
That's right. And of those five, who do you think will win?
I feel like Black Hammer will win.
Mm.
But I'm really bad at guessing who will win, whatever.
It's hard to suss out with the Eisners. It's not like the Oscars where you can gauge a year's worth of award ceremonies and kind of see where the wind's going.
Yeah, and see which company's been doing the most promotion for their movie and how, you know, other award ceremonies are swinging and that mm-hmm. sort of thing. But that's my guess. Black Hammer's a popular series. Jeff Lemire is a great goddamn writer, and Ormston and Rubin are great artists.
I think it's going to be Monstrous.
Yeah?
Yeah. Who do you think should win?
This is also hard for me because I love all of these comics.
Yeah, it's really hard.
I love all of them.
Yeah.
I'm torn between Like Giant Days and Wicked and Divine. But I also fucking love Hawkeye and Monstrous.
Yeah.
So
it's a stacked deck.
Yeah. I would love Wicked and Divine to win, though, because like they've been nominated before. They've never won, like, for the series.
Oh, okay.
And I don't even know if Kieran and Jamie have won, like, either writer or artist for it. I know that Matt Wilson has won colorist.
He won last year.
Yes.
That's right.
Thank God.
Yeah.
I would like The Wicked and the Divine to win this, because this is, I think, maybe next year's Eisners might be the last time it's eligible, because it'll be
over.
Done soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's not a lot left to Wicked and Divine.
Mm-hmm.
Give him an Eisner, guys.
I think Giant Day should have it.
I love Giant Days.
Mm-hmm. They should just get an honorary award just for showing up. It's like, hey, John Ellison, Max Sarin, and Lisa Treeman, here you go.
Every year?
Every year. Just have one set aside. You know, it feels good.
Just find a different comic creator to name it after each year and give it to them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This year it's the Dan DiDio Award.
Yeah.
And then have, I don't know, C.B. Sobolski hand it out.
That would be great.
Who do you think got snubbed for Best Continuing Series?
Thor, Runaways.
Thor and Runaways.
Thor, God. Best superhero ongoing in the last 10 years?
Yeah, easily.
So good. So fucking good.
I think once it starts wrapping up, I think that Eisner level start rolling around for that.
Maybe next year they'll get a nom. Fingers crossed. Who do you think got the snub for this?
The Black Monday Murders.
I had a feeling you were going to bring that one up.
I don't think enough people are talking about how good this book is.
All right, next one is Best Limited Series.
That's right.
And for that, we've got Black Panther World of Wakanda, Extremity, The Flintstones, Mr. Miracle, and X-Men Grand Design.
Another stacked deck.
Yes.
That's a big list.
So this is again, all really good stuff.
All right, who will win?
I think Mr. Miracle is probably a shoo-in on this.
I feel the exact same way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that most of the things that Mr. Miracle and its team are nominated for, they will win.
I feel the same way for the most part. We'll find out more about that in a minute.
Okay.
Who do you think should win?
Extremity.
Extremity?
I love the shit out of Extremity.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
I think it's weird that they included the Flintstones in Best Limited Series here, but then included Hawkeye in Continuing, because for a while, like, I don't think Flintstones was originally announced
as
a limited series. I think that's very strange. And X-Men Grand Design is kind of sort of continuing. I would like Extremity to win because, man, that Daniel Warren Johnson, fucking great. Who do you think should win?
X-Men Grand Design.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I feel like if there's any Eisner bait, aside from My Favorite Thing is Monsters on this list, it's X-Men Grand Design. Ed Piskor with Hip Hop Family Tree. He's already, I believe, snagged an Eisner for that. But X-Men Grand Design is like that uber ambitious auteur stuff that a lot of people eat up. I ate it up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even like the X-Men. This got me liking it. So that's how I feel. Who do you think got snubbed?
Well, Bug, The Adventures of Forager, for one.
Yeah, for one.
Hi-Fi Fight Club, now known as Heavy Vinyl.
Hmm.
I liked that a lot. The Eisners really do try to nominate things that appeal to different audiences than the assumed audience for superhero comics.
Yeah.
That seemed like something that they would maybe go for, even in one of like the teen categories or something. And also Supergirl Being Super. That's another one that could go into like, you know, like the teen books or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, sad that didn't get nominated. What about you?
God Country.
I had a feeling you were going to mention that too.
God Country was insanely good. I mean, Donny Cates is now biggest star in comics. And that's largely due to that book. And rightfully so.
And Jeff Shaw's art on there.
Oh, yeah. Everything about that, the production of that book is, if that's not Eisner worthy, I don't know what is. It's really, really good. All right, moving on. Best New Series.
For Best New Series, we've got Black Bolt, Grass Kings, Maestros, Redlands, and Royal City.
All right. For this one, I have a win / should. Like, they will win and they should win.
Yeah?
Redlands.
You think so?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
I don't know who will win this. I like most of these books. Like, Maestro's I'm not a big fan of. The art's really pretty, but I think it's got, like, a 14-year-old sense of humor in it.
A lot of dick in that book.
It's, yeah, just, like, nothing but dick jokes. It's so pretty. It deserves an actual writer.
Oh, no. Steve Scrooge.
Black Bolt by Saladin Ahmed and Christian Ward is what I think should win because it's so good.
Yeah, but who do you think will win?
Like I said, I don't know. I really have no idea here.
You didn't put one down?
I didn't.
Oh, wow.
That's my one thing.
That's your one thing?
Black Bolt, Grass Kings, Redlands, Royal City. Cool with any of them. Just not Maestro's guys, okay?
All right. Well, who do you think got snubbed?
Honestly, I couldn't think of any snubs either.
Really?
Yeah.
I got one.
What's yours?
Curse words.
Oh, did that start in 2017?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I think it was in January or February when it kicked off. Yeah, no, Curse Words Rules. That is an awesome book.
I would agree with you. I didn't realize that started.
Hot dog.
Last year.
Yeah, I mean, Maestro's, the art is phenomenal. So is Curse Words. The artwork there is great. Ryan Brown's doing the best work of his career in that book.
And his colors. Everybody overlooks his colors. His colors are fucking great.
Oh, well, maybe next year. Not for best new series, anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
That ship has sailed. Thanks, guys.
But for the next category, best humor publication.
Which could have gone there, too, but what the hell.
But the nominations for this are Baking with Kafka, Batman Elmer Fudd Special Number 1, The Flintstones, Rock Candy Mountain, and Wallace the Brave.
Now, I'm pretty certain it's going to be Batman Elmer Fudd.
Same.
Pretty sure that it's going to win. The Flintstones deserves it.
I said the same thing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Hey, go team.
Yeah.
High five.
But also, that should win kind of ties with Rock Candy Mountain for me.
See, I haven't read it yet.
I would sit there reading that just like cackling at every page. It was so funny.
Well, I will read it. Yeah. I like to giggle.
Yeah. And it's a short thing. It's only like, I think, 10 issues.
Mm-hmm. Well, who do you think got snubbed?
Well, like you mentioned, Curse Words would have been a great addition to this list.
That's on my snubs list?
Yeah. Giant Days.
Yeah.
Giant Days and Unbeatable Squirrel Girl. Those are both books that I also sit there and read and cackle at every damn page.
Because it's humorous.
Yeah, yeah. And just like smart humor, too. Those two, I think, were snubbed. You have any other snubs?
I got one snub, besides Curse Words. The Fix, also an English title, by Spencer and Lieber. It's hilarious. Subject matter is a little blue, but it is funny. I read that book, and I'm laughing. And it's hard for me to laugh at something that I'm reading. I don't know why. It's just like a disconnect there.
Okay.
I guess it's because I'm using my own voice, and I don't find myself very funny.
Maybe.
But it's a really funny book. Check it out if you haven't checked it out already. All right, let's move on. Best writer.
All right, best writer, we've got Tom King, Matt Kind, Jeff Lemire, Marjorie Liu, and Mark Russell.
There's not enough women on this list.
No, but hey, in comics, I'm happy when there's one lady out of five. Five slots, yeah. Mm-hmm. Who do you think's going to win?
Tom King.
I do too. The first chunk of Batman, I would say, doesn't necessarily deserve the nom, but
true.
As it's gotten into last year and then this year, it's
once
gotten
Jamie
better.
Rich hopped on and took over the reins on that book or that entire line, no, it has improved dramatically.
Okay, yeah, okay. Absolutely. I think it's just the artist he's collaborated with that have gotten better.
He does work better with certain artists. I'm very anxious to read this week's issue of Batman. But
so, who do you think should win?
Marjorie Liu.
Really?
Yeah, I think that Monstrous is an innovative and interesting enough book on its own that it stands out amongst all of these. Even though Grass Kings is great, even though Black Hammer is my favorite book, even though Tom King is Tom King, Marjorie Liu should have it.
She's been nominated before.
Yeah.
It would be nice for her to win. Personally, I would like Jeff Lemire to win.
Mm-hmm.
If someone is nominated for multiple things, it kind of shows more of a range.
Yeah.
So, you know, Jeff Lemire's nominated for a couple things on here. And I just love that dude's work. His stuff's so good.
Hey, don't get me wrong. Jeff Lemire is my favorite writer, like I said.
Yeah.
Look at me with that accusing look. Oh, who got snubbed?
You're going to really easily guess my...
Jason Aaron.
Yeah.
Good God. Change the record, Harl.
Like I said, Thor is like one of their best ongoings.
You're not wrong.
And that's partially due to him. He's been writing the book for like 6 years now. Fingers crossed next year.
You better believe
him and fucking Russell Dowderman and Matt Wilson better all win because God damn it.
Yeah.
They should.
They will.
Also snubbed, Kieran Gillen and Chip Zdarsky.
Mm.
Chip Zdarsky,
yeah,
man.
Hell yeah, Chip Zdarsky. Marvel 2-in-1 is the most fun.
And just like all of his Marvel books are so good.
They are. It's true.
What about you? What are your snubs?
Mariko Tamaki. Supergirl being super.
And the Hulk.
Hulk. Both amazing books. She was fantastic. And both of them, her not being here is annoying. And Declan Shalvey, who I felt acquitted himself magnificently for Savage Town last year.
Declan Shalvey is great.
Yes. Let's step over slightly to writer-artist.
So we've got Lorena Alvarez, Chaboudet for Moby Dick.
We reviewed that book.
Chaboudet. I like that name. Emil Ferris, Kathy Malkasian, Giro Taniguchi.
I got a Will and Should again.
Okay.
Emil Ferris.
That's mine too.
My favorite thing is monsters.
Partially because the other material I'm not super familiar with.
Yeah, that's mine too. Yeah. Although the Moby Dick from Dark Horse, I did check out because we did review it. I didn't get to read all of it because it's fucking Moby Dick, but it was beautiful. It was a beautiful looking book.
How could it not be beautiful with someone named Jabouté?
Jabouté. Who got snubbed?
Dana Warren Johnson. Totally and completely.
For Extremity, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. These aren't obscure titles, but I feel like they maybe deliberately went, like, off the beaten path. A couple of these other creators are only on there for one work.
And he knocked out 12 issues of Amazing.
Yeah. It wasn't just one graphic novel. It was a series.
Maybe it's because he didn't color it.
Maybe that's weird, though.
That would be weird.
But it doesn't say writer, artist, colorist. No, Daniel Warren Johnson should be on this goddamn list. Maybe next year, because it technically ended this year, so maybe they'll throw him on the next one.
Maybe. We'll find out.
But my other snub, Joel Jones.
Yeah, Lady Killer too.
Lady Killer.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, she's great.
You'll be seeing Joel Jones more on this list next year, I think.
I better.
Oh, no.
What are your snubs, Jonesy?
Just Jeff Lemire for Royal City.
Oh.
I really wrecked my brain on it, too. Moving on to Best Penciler Inker or Penciler Inker Team. Although there are no penciler inker teams on this list.
That's true.
We have Isabelle Arsenault for Louis Undercover. Mitch Jarrett, of course, for Mr. Miracle. Gary Gianni for Hellboy Into the Silent Sea. Ramon K. Perez for Jane. David Rubin for Black Hammer, issues 9 and 12. Ether, Sherlock Frankenstein 1 through 3. And Beowulf. Who's going to win?
Well, I think Mitch Garrett is going to win.
I think David Rubin's going to win.
Oh, I think Mitch Garrett's going to win.
You think?
Yeah. Mm. And I think he should.
Well, I think he should. But I think, I don't know, David Rubin had a really impressive, like...
Mr. Miracle is going to bulldoze everything it's nominated for.
Yeah, you're probably right.
It's going to be the Titanic of this year.
It's not even done.
It's going to.
It's not even done. We don't even know if they're going to stick the landing. They will.
Yeah.
Of course they will.
Yeah. No, I have faith in them, and he deserves an Eisner. He recently posted that they're pushing the last couple issues back a little bit. And it was really refreshing to see everyone's replies on Twitter be like, cool, man.
Yeah.
You take the time you need.
Hell yeah. I'm thinking Absolute Edition here. Don't rush it.
Yeah.
Make it perfect.
Yeah. Give the man time. Don't rush him. Don't throw in some fucking, you know, sub-artist.
Yeah, no way.
I love seeing how much coffee he drinks.
Mm-hmm.
He gets, like, iced lattes, like,
yeah,
multiples of them.
I worry.
Yeah, it's funny.
It's a lot of milk for one man.
Yeah, right. But he is my pick for both should win and will win.
Cool. Snubs.
My snubs, I have a lot of them.
I have a few, too.
Okay. Well, I've got Russell Dowderman, A. Chris Anka, B.
Chris Anka's on mine.
Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely.
Bilquis Evely, like I mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Ward for Black Bolt.
Yeah.
Joel Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Mike Allred. Those are my snubs.
Yeah.
My snubs.
Mine was Maria Lovett.
Oh.
For There's Nothing There. Sublime book.
Probably skated under a lot of the
radars of
the
people.
Radars of the judges.
That's unfortunate. Apparently, they don't read Doom Rocket because we did a lot of hype on that. And Jorge Jimenez.
Oh, that boy!
Superman and Super Sons. I know, and his Superman and Super Sons stuff was great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not mad.
No,
I'm not mad at all.
Best cover artist.
Yes, we got Jorge Corona for Number One with a Bullet, which is odd to see here.
Yeah.
Considering who's not on this list, it's like this.
Uh-huh.
Nick Darrington for Mr. Miracle and Doom Patrol. Brian Stelfreeze for Black Panther. Sanaa Takeda for Monstrous. And Julian Totino Tedesco for Hawkeye. And those covers rule.
Yeah, no, Tedesco was great.
Yeah.
He did the cover for this week's Life of Captain Marvel. Like, yes. The main cover, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So who do you think is going to win?
I have no fucking idea.
Really?
I don't know. This is a really weird list to me because, like, I feel like a cover artist should be nominated for multiple titles. Like I mentioned with writers, I feel like a writer, you should be nominating them because you've seen their range,
mm-hmm,
and not just for one book.
True.
If you just like the one book, you should nominate the one book for ongoing or new series or whatever.
Right.
But Nick Darrington, he's got the two series, and he's done a couple other variant covers for things. That makes sense, but I'm not knocking these artists. Stelfreeze is fucking great. Sanaa Takeda is great. But put more than one series on there.
Mm-hmm.
How about somebody like Jenny motherfucking Frizzin? Who's been murdering on those Wonder Woman covers.
So we're jumping to snubs, are we?
Yes, because I honestly have no idea who's going to win and who I want to win on this list. I guess Nick Darrington. I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, Jenny Frizzin's definitely on my snubs list. So is Michael Cho.
Oh, heck yeah, Michael Cho.
His Batwoman stuff was unparalleled.
I can't believe they didn't nominate Joshua Middleton.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's not on this list next year, I'm going to write a strongly worded letter to the Eisner Committee.
How do they even arrive to these lists sometimes?
I don't know.
It's odd.
I don't know.
Well, I got a win and should.
Okay.
I think it's going to be Nick Darrington.
I think it might be, too.
I think the man's earned it.
I feel like whenever he does the main covers and then Mitch Gerrits does the variants, mm-hmm. and pairing the works of those two artists together, I always end up liking Garrett's cover more. Mm-hmm. And he is my third snub for a cover artist.
Third snub, bub.
Mm-hmm. Followed by Russell Dauterman again and mm-hmm. Chris Anka again.
Yep.
When will those two, Russell Dauterman and Chris Anka, get some love?
It's coming.
They need some Eisner love.
It's coming.
God.
Next year, definitely. Best coloring.
This list.
Yeah.
We've got Emil Ferris, Mitch Gerrits, Ed Piskor, David Rubin, and Dave Stewart, and Rosemary Valero O'Connell.
Mm-hmm.
Weird thing about this list.
What?
There's only one colorist on this list. The rest are artists who color themselves.
Stuff. That's right.
There was a big hubbub about this when they first announced the nominees.
I got some snubs.
There's a lot of snubs. But first, who do you think will win?
David Rubin?
Yeah. I think, again, it's going to be Mitch Gerrits.
All right. Who do you think should win?
Well, of all of the colorists on this list, I think the one that is the colorist should win, which is Dave Stewart. I mean, if you look at the list of nominees, what they're nominated for, he is nominated for Black Hammer, BPRDW No, Hellboy Into the Silent Sea, Sherlock Frankenstein, Shaolin Cowboy, and Maestros.
Yep.
He colors a lot. He is widely considered to be the very best colorist. He's won this award many, many times.
Yeah.
So otherwise, I would say someone else should get it, because Dave Stewart probably has 8 of these.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think you should win it, because he's the only colorist
on the list. Yeah. I feel the exact same way. He's my should, too.
Yeah, which is not to say that these other artists aren't great colorists, but they only do their own work.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to have this as a category, honor the colorists who color.
Preach. Preach on.
That's all they do. They color.
All right, snubs. Let's make this quick.
So many. In capital letters, Matthew Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote him in for my vote.
Did you really?
Yes.
I wrote in Tamara Bonvillain.
She is on my list as well. My list is really long, my snubs list.
Well, let's just ratchet down. Let's make this happen.
We're
running short on time.
I've got Matthew Wilson, Laura Allred, Matt Hollingsworth, Kelly Fitzpatrick, Tamara Bonvillain, Jordi Belair, Paul Mounce, Laura Martin, Dave McCaig, Betty Breitweiser, and Dee Cunniff.
You covered the spectrum.
Actual colorists.
Well done.
Thanks. Absolutely. What about you?
No, that you.
And they're all
yeah,
there.
I was like, yep, yep, there it is, yep.
But, and there are so many ladies who are colorists mm-hmm. that you can nominate. And there was only one lady on this, or two. Emil Ferris, Rosemary Valero O'Connell. So, like, you could have had some more ladies on there.
I'm going to argue with the sentiment a little on Emil Ferris, because a lot of that shit's in ballpoint pen. And the fact that it looks as good as it does is a miracle unto itself. So I would definitely give a nod in that regard to Ferris.
Okay. I feel like that should be the exception, not the rule.
Uh-huh.
And not, what is it, 4 of the 5 or 5 yeah. of the 6?
Mm-hmm.
1, 2,
with no
three,
disrespect
four,
to
five,
Mitch,
six.
Ed, and David.
Yeah. It's 5 of the 6 are artists who color their own work.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
All right, moving on to best lettering. Another odd list.
We've got Isabel Arsenault, Clayton Cowles, Emil Ferris again, Stan Sakai, and John Workman.
Mm-hmm. Who do you think will win?
I'm hoping it's a want-to-win, will-win situation, and it's Clayton Cowles. Because, again, he is the person on this list
who has the most work on
yeah.
it. Yeah.
And, like, I think him and John Workman are the two that are actual letterers.
Stan Sakai is, like, the godfather of lettering, like, modern comics lettering, I would say.
Okay. Because he's on here for Gru, and he's on here for Usagi Yojimbo.
That works for me.
Yeah.
I think Stan Sakai being on here is perfectly fine.
Okay. I just wish it was more letterers again.
I agree. Well, okay then. Snubs.
I don't know many letterers.
I got a few. Aditya Bidikar.
And our friend Taylor Esposito.
Yes.
Who letters a ton of stuff.
He works his ass off.
Yeah. Yeah. That dude needs a nod on here.
But like Aditya Bidikar, man, this kid, I've said it before on this podcast, I've written it for Doom Rocket, he is the heir apparent to Todd Klein.
No, good, yeah, really
like,
good stuff.
This guy is going to be legendary one day. You watch, like, this year was Motor Crush, Black Cloud, Kid Lobotomy, The Skeptics. And then my other snub was Todd Klein himself, who's been no slouch this year.
Still working, yeah.
Yeah. He did Black Hammer of One, The Eisner Darling, Clean Room for Vertigo, and then Doom Patrol. And Creature of the Night, but that's technically a this year thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so come on, guys, what are we doing here? All right, last one. Best comics-related periodical and journalism.
Gee, I wonder why you included this one. You silly.
What?
I'm just wondering what you're going to say for snubs.
Oh, give me a little more credit than that.
I know you're going to at least make a jokey mention.
Well, here we go. This is the list. Alter Ego, edited by Roy Thomas. The Comics Journal, edited by Dan Nadell, Timothy Holder, and Tucker Stone. Hogan's Alley, edited by Tom Hinchies. And Jack Kirby Collector, edited by John Morrow. And then Panel X Panel. Or is it Panel by Panel?
I have no idea.
Me neither. Edited by Hassan Atsmain Elhau. I believe our pads contributed to these guys.
Yeah.
This is a win should thing for me.
Yeah.
I would give it to Panel X Panel, the new kids on the block.
Okay. I definitely think they're going to win, but I think Comics Journal should win. I'm assuming they've probably won before, but...
Yeah. Yes.
But, yeah.
Snubs. Do you have a snub?
No, sir, I don't.
I would have put the Comics Beat on here this year.
Yeah?
Yeah. When I'm not working on my own shit, I read a lot of everybody else's stuff. And while I appreciate Graham McMillan, who is a judge this year, he works for the Hollywood Reporter's Heat Vision blog, which is very good. I think that Heidi McDonald is the example upon which all comics journalism should aspire.
Okay.
Next year, I wouldn't mind seeing Full Bleed get a mention, because that is an amazing assemblage of comics journalism.
Okay.
So it's going to be a very interesting year next year. You will note I did not mention Doom Rocket, because we don't do news. We do previews and reviews and...
But it doesn't necessarily... This isn't necessarily news stuff. It's just comics-related periodical journalism.
Sure.
Doesn't specify news.
Yeah.
I was expecting a jokey...
We've been doing this for 5 years.
Yeah, that's why I expect it.
I've gotten used to the idea that that's never going to happen. So I'm fine with it. All right. Were we right? Were we wrong? We'll all find out on Friday night. Meet us on Twitter. We'll be there for the live streams. And then, of course, we'll be announcing the winners on DoomRocket.com. MJ, you ready for the top five?
Totally.
Let's do it. I'm going to have you kick us off this week. Let's make this quick.
All right, so my first pick is Life of Captain Marvel number one, yet another Marvel debut, written by Margaret Stoll. Pencils for the present day sequence by Carlos Pacheco, inks by Rafael Fontaneras, colors by Marcio Meniz, and artists on the flashbacks, Marguerite Sauvage, letters by Clayton Cowles. I read this last night and it's much more serious. Definitely like trying to like do like a deep character study and going back into like Carol's traumatic childhood.
That explains the title.
Which I was not expecting.
Mm.
It's really good. And I think that people need to learn more about this character and her background, so it's a good time to do it. And I'm really looking forward to see more of it.
Sweet.
What's your first pick of the week?
Batman 51.
Really?
From DC, written by Tom King, art by Lee Weeks, colors by Elizabeth Breitweiser, and letters by... I don't know. You know me. I'm 50-50 on Batman. It's either really great or it's not. So I'm hoping that with Tom King working with Lee Weeks again, we're going to get some of that mojo back. It's a Mr. Freeze story, and this is the post-wedding stuff. So I think it's really fitting symbolically to have Mr. Freeze there, because Batman's probably going to shut himself off to everybody.
Did you read the issue yet?
No.
Okay.
Very excited to read it.
I feel like the beauty of Lee Weeks' art is at least 50% Betty Breitweiser, because man, that shit is gorgeous.
Yeah. What's next for you, MJ?
Well, my next one is Infidel number 5.
Infidel, this book.
The reason I mention it is because it is the final issue.
Mm-hmm.
This was a short series, 5 issues. Written by Pornsak Pichet Schotte, art by Aaron Campbell. They're credited as co-creators, which
they
is great.
Are.
Colorist and editor, I didn't realize he edited too, Jose Villarubia, and letterer and designer Jeff Powell.
Yeah.
This has been such a wonderfully scary and thought-provoking series.
I hope they don't pooch it up in the movie.
I just am so excited to see it as a movie. I think this is a really great successor to Get Out. I love it so much.
I love it because when you turn the page, it actually freaks you out. There's a couple of moments where I caught my breath before I've turned the page in this book, and I never do that with a comic book. They're not scary. That's a scary comic.
Jared is also easily scared.
No, I'm not.
Jared jumps at jump scares in games.
Jump scares are bullshit.
Like, literally jumps and yells.
That's not scared. That's startled.
It's the best thing ever.
It's rude is what it is. Alien isolation. I can't even... Anyway.
I love it. Anyway, what's your next one, Jared?
Oh, shit. It's Kim and Kim. Number 1.
Hey, I don't think it actually says shit.
Yes, it does.
I think it's censored. I think it's S hashtag exclamation point.
Well, I'm not putting a bleep over me. You know how much of a pain in the ass that is?
Just say bleep.
Anyways, from Black Mask, it's written by Magdalene Visaggio, art by Ava Cabrera, colors by Claudia Guir, letters by Zach Sam. Kim and Kim, number one, a debut from this creative team would have been on this list no matter what, but I think what's very special about this debut is that it is the first ongoing series from Black Mask.
Oh.
Yeah, this is like a new experiment for them. They're not the most well-known for getting their books out on time, but I'm excited that they're trying. We'll see where it takes them.
Yeah, that makes me nervous as a retailer because it is very hard to get their books back in stock once mm-hmm. once the first initial order. So if you have, you'll get copies of whatever issue and you won't be able to get them back in, even though you have issue 4, you can't get issue 2 back in. That makes me a little nervous, but I'm really glad to see more of Kim and Kim.
MJ, what's next for you?
My next one is another end of series issue. It's Spider-Gwen number 34. Mm. If you haven't been paying attention, it's the end of Spider-Gwen.
Yeah.
The end of Jason Latour and Robbie Rodriguez's and Rico Renzi's run on this book.
This is it.
It's really sad, but it's been such a really great book, and I can see them wanting to end it on their own terms.
Yeah.
I haven't read it yet, because I'm waiting to savor the experience. Yeah, the end of Spider-Gwen.
Can't say as I blame him, as the Disney machine has pretty much swallowed her whole. She's now going to be Ghost Spider?
It looks like they're going to transition her into that name in the Marvel U as well.
Yeah, I saw that.
Having more visibility for this character is great.
I don't know about that name, though.
I don't love it either, but it's better than calling her Spider-Gwen.
I love that name.
But no one ever actually calls it, like, she's Spider-Woman.
Yeah.
No one ever calls her that. But I didn't say the credits. It is written by Jason Latour, art by Robbie Rodriguez, colors by Rico Renzi and Lauren Affe, letters by Clayton Cowles. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really sad.
I'm sorry you're sad. I'm sorry you're sad.
What's your next one, Jared?
Gideon Falls, number 5 from Image Comics.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Written by Jeff Lemire, art by Andrea Sorrentino, colors by Dave Stewart, letters by Steve Wands, Gideon Falls, number 5. Gideon Falls is just another spooky book. You can expect this on the Eisner's list next year for sure.
Hope so.
I mean, it's Lemire and Sorrentino. I mean, this is the they love each other so much. It shows on every book that they do. It's mm-hmm. great.
Yeah.
What do you got? What's next?
My next one is Archie Meets Batman 66, number 1.
I'm glad you got this one because it's not on my list.
I read this already. Mm-hmm. It's really fun. I was a little nervous because the last crossover between Archie and DC was that Harley and Ivy Meet Betty and Veronica book.
Yeah.
And I really didn't like it.
No, you didn't.
This one's real fun. It's co-written by Jeff Parker and Michael Morrissey, mm-hmm. art by Dan Parent and Jay Bone, which is interesting to see them together because the Jay Bone's inks on Dan Parent aren't interesting. And then Kelly Fitzpatrick on colors and Jack Morelli on letters.
You know who inks Dan Parent really well?
Who?
Ty Templeton.
Yeah.
Your Pal Archie was an awesome book. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, Jay Bone's inks just look not bad, but just different. Like in a way that I'm not used to on Dan Parent's art, you know? But it's not bad. And the issue is so much fun.
Cool.
It is exactly what you want out of Batman 66 Riverdale thing.
The covers rule.
Yeah.
Joe Quinones cover rules. The Derek Charm cover rules. Of course, the Mike Allred cover rules.
Francesco Francavilla's cover mm-hmm. is amazing.
Yeah, no, yeah. Archie puts out a good spread.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
It's really fun. You go check it out.
Yeah.
What's your last one, Jared?
Oh, I got two more.
Oh, two more?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're... My next one is last
night. Hey, I'm not mad about it.
What's your next one?
Bad Girls, OGN, from Gallery 13. Written and I think lettered by Alex DeCampi and art by Victor Santos.
Okay.
I had the privilege of reading this early. I got to interview Alex DeCampi and Victor Santos earlier this year. I think I'll reshare that interview today. So look for that on the social media. Bad Girls is a noir tale that takes place in 1958 on the eve of the Cuban Revolution. Focuses on three women finding a way to survive the night. It is riveting. It's got amazing dialogue. Alex DeCampi, I don't think, gets championed enough as one of the better dialogue writers in comics. And Victor Santos's art is perfectly lurid and filled with shadows and contrasts, and the colors are gorgeous. Check it out. It's a little pricey, it's $28, but if you take the dive, I think you'll enjoy it. Bad Girls, OGN. MJ, what's last for you?
All right, my last pick.
I think I know what this is.
It's Thor number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Written by Jason Aaron, art by Mike Del Mundo, with color assists by Marco D'Alfonso, letters and production by VC's Joe Sabino. I love this book.
Yep.
I'm always going to probably love a Jason Aaron Thor book. or Jason Aaron book in general.
Oh, no.
But this is great. They're definitely bringing in a lot of aspects of Thor Ragnarok into this.
Yeah, I can tell.
I can never tell if this is done by, like, editorial edict where they're like, yeah, just kind of bring in these same characters. Or
it,
if, like,
it has to be.
But I think also people just, like, the writers want to write the characters because they've seen them on screen. And Jason Aaron doesn't necessarily...
Jason.
I'm sorry. But, like, he definitely gives these characters his own twist.
Mm-hmm.
Their voices haven't changed. They haven't been tweaked to sound like the movies or anything. Mm-hmm. Like, you know.
I don't know. I felt like he kind of did that in the Avengers.
Yeah?
The first couple of issues of Avengers read very Hemsworthy.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
That's how I feel about it.
I've never thought his Thor felt Hemsworthy, but...
Well, you are very much a fan.
Yes. But, and Thor should be worthy, if not Hemsworthy.
No!
That was my favorite pun. What's your last one?
Very excited for this book. Latest Black Crown release, Euthanauts, number one. Written by Teeny Howard, art by Nick Robles, and letters by Aditya Bidikar. Amazing creative team. Teeny Howard has never been better. Go buy it. It's out in stores today. That closes out our top five most anticipated issues of the week. We take to social media to ask you guys a pressing question on our minds, and this week's question, which creators would you like to see take home an Eisner this year? We asked, you answered. MJ, start us off.
All right, on Facebook, CW Cook says, Emo is going to win, Mark Russell too, and I hope they do, but damn, it's hard to pick from my friends.
Over on Twitter, RPAD OK, hey RPAD, said, Redlands by Jordi Belair, Vanessa Del Rey, and Clayton Cowles for best new series. It's unforgettable, disquieting, compelling, beautiful, hideous, utterly germane and undeniable behemoth bound in fury.
Christina Steen Stewart says on Facebook, Tanika Stotts and co. for Elements Fire, because I need an Eisner even if it's through an anthology.
Batman's Bookcase at Batman's Bookcase said, I don't know what the Eisners are going to do because they've backed themselves into a corner where continuing series, limited series, new series, and best writer are all impossible to choose.
Josh Campa on Facebook said, the Black Hammer crew was doing such good work.
On Facebook, Clyde Hall said, best writer, Jeff Lemire. Best penciler, inker, or penciler team, Gary Gianni for Hellboy Into the Silent Sea.
And Cindy B on Twitter, who's at Spin Their Yarns, said, I read Forgotten Princess literally yesterday, and it's so fucking lovely and sad. So I'm backing that, and also Mr. Miracle, because duh.
Still on Facebook, Andrew Elia said, Batman Elmer Fudd should have been nominated for Best One-Shot, not Best Humor Book, but I'll take whatever I can get.
And Alex Tucker at AlexTuc123 on Twitter said, Saladin Ahmed is too good, to be honest.
Future Father of the Year, Jeremy Hasha at Jeremy Hasha said, rooting for Matt Kent and Tyler Jenkins to win one for Grass Kings.
Bill Fitzmaurice, who's at BillyTheFitz78 on Twitter, said, I don't know noms, but Tom King and Mitch Garrett's Mr. Miracle, Lemire and Nguyen for Descender, just off the top of my head, and always Stan Sakai for Usagi Yojimbo.
And we got time for one more. MJ, please take it away.
JB, who's at JBNimble, said, there are many people I would like to see win, but I need Bandette to win in the digital comics category.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I got some news for you.
What's that?
Today, this episode marks our 2-year Casual Wednesdays anniversary.
No shit!
Yeah, we've been doing this for 2 years now.
That's so funny.
Doesn't feel like it, does it?
I mean, at this point it does, because we've been doing it weekly for a while.
The first half was bi-weekly, and we've been doing weekly ever since.
Now it feels like forever.
Yeah, sure does. Well, you said it.
But I think it works.
How do you like the experience so far?
Having it in the morning has improved the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm always checking the clock like I am now. Like, yeah. Oh God, I gotta fucking get to work.
I'm always staring down the clock because it takes at least 3 hours to edit this thing. Like, Wednesdays, by the time I'm done and we still have staff picks and undercover to kick out, by the time 5 o'clock rolls around, I just want to dive into a bottle of bourbon.
Well, when I get here, I won't dive into a bottle of bourbon with you, but I will take a nap.
A nap?
Yeah, we can take a nap.
Yeah, nap sounds good.
Nap time.
Happy anniversary again.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, man. And that that's it. That's all the time we have for this installment of Casual Wednesdays. Need more of this dweeby little podcast in your life? Well, guess what? Check out our 63-episode archive over on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcasts. Rate and subscribe, tell us how we're doing, or search Casual Wednesdays over at doomrocket.com. New episodes every Wednesday afternoon. And look us up on Twitter. I'm at @JaredJones_MJ. Where can they find you?
@MollyJane_K.
And that's it. So until the day we can say Eisner Award nominee DoomRacket.com and not get called a liar, I remain Jared, that's MJ, and from all of us here at DoomRacket.com, have a great SDCC, everybody. I snuck that joke in there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want an Eisner.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care.